Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff Hathorn from Bradenton, FLA. Jeff, you made it down there safely. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're great. We're at Good. American Thank Natural you. In Wexford. Stop by, wear a green shirt, and you get a free breakfast sandwich on us. You won't be doing that because you're in Florida. So yesterday the Pirates hit 5 home runs. Were they wind-aided or were they legit home runs? Tell me.
No, they were legit. I don't know what this concern is about the Pirates' offense. I mean, from the game I've seen, I mean, they're world beaters. No, they were legit, and a couple of them off Arrieta. It was a Philly split squad team, so they didn't have a full roster of quality pitchers. But when you can knock Arrieta around, and like I said, it wasn't wind-aided. In fact, Adam Frazier was an opposite field shot. Corey Dickerson's was, you know, dead center. So, yeah, I mean, it was a good day, and you know, Kevin Newman even showed off a little power.
Jeff, in all seriousness, though, you know, we are very worried about the offense and where they're going to get any power. But this is several times this spring, and maybe some of those days were wind-aided somewhat. This is several times this spring where we've seen this team explode from multiple home runs in a game. Is there anything to? I mean, is it possible that this team does have more power that for some reason we just didn't see last year?
Possibly. You know, I'm not sold on Corey Dickerson being a big power guy. And, you know, Josh Bell is really tinkering with the swing down here. And at times he looks, unfortunately, he looks a little lost at the plate. And I think he's trying to generate more power. You know, if they get it, it's going to be from the third base position, which is when most are speculating that Jung Ho Gung, if he can get 25 homers, there's your big add in home runs. You know, I don't think it's going to come from shortstop. Adam Frazier is a nice player, but I mean, he's not going to hit more than 10. It's really up to what's going to happen at the corners. Can Bell and Gung supply some power for this team? Because I just don't see a huge upgrade. Maybe when Polanco comes back and if he gets that power stroke going. But they're just going to be a team that's going to have to rely on manufacturing runs. And, you know, they're working a lot on that down here.
Jeff, I flicked the game on, and it looked like a beautiful day, a picture-perfect day. Bunch of people on the deck out there in Bradenton. Nice crowd, and it was, I don't know if they came expecting to see Kutch and Bryce Harper, but nonetheless, it's always a good crowd. And I watch, I don't know, an inning and a half, and I saw, I hate to say it, I saw more butchering on the infield.
Oh, and you know, I happened to be in that third base camera well right by Colin Moran, and my goodness, you know, he had two errors, and then he had a pop-up that he couldn't track down that didn't end up being an error. It was, you know, right by the tarp, but most third basemen would catch it. It was bad. I mean, he did nothing other than the home run he hit to really help himself in a quote-unquote platoon with Jung Ho Gung. It's bad. You have three. Here's what was amazing to me. You had three errors in one inning, and Trevor Williams only gave up a run, which – and the way he danced around through that inning was impressive. But if they play defense, and obviously they're not going to have three errors in an inning, and that was a bit of an anomaly, but it is very consistent with some of the struggles they've had. They're working on it. I was there early yesterday, and they were in getting work with Joey Cora. You just wonder after a time, I mean, these guys are working hard, but are they capable of playing good defense? And I don't know if this group, this middle infield, or this entire infield might be the worst infield the Pirates have had defensively in a long, long time.
Is there any way the middle infield somehow makes up for it at all? We've heard so much about the range of Eric Gonzalez, for example, but even when we were down there last week, we saw him boot a couple balls. So is it possible that despite everything we expect from this starting rotation, that some of it goes for naught because the guys behind them just can't catch or throw baseballs?
Yeah, it's a fear. It absolutely is. And when we were discussing the power, and when you don't think you're going to get a lot of that to get you out of those situations, yeah, I think with Gonzalez, I think some of his struggles at the plate, and they've been mighty, are affecting him in the field. And maybe when he settles down at the plate, that fielding will turn around for him. But man, it has been. I mean, Kevin Newman made a nice play in the hole yesterday, but they just don't have a lot up the middle of the infield, and you really feel at the shortstop position that it's kind of a bridge year because they're really excited, and you guys saw them too of what Cole Tucker might be able to do next season.
Do you think that? And they're not going to have him be a major leaguer right now. That's just not the case. He hasn't played in AAA or whatever. Hypothetical, and I love playing these like barroom hypotheticals, like you're sitting in a bar in Blahnok somewhere and you're talking about this. If they each got 500 at-bats right now, would Cole Tucker fare better than Gonzalez against major league pitching?
I would say yes, even though it's still an unknown. And I get it. I think they're making the right call. Give Tucker a year AAA, let him develop. And, hey, if he has a great couple of months, then you can reassess where you're at. But I don't know if you want to rush a guy that's still pretty young, that hasn't had a ton of experience at high-level pitching. I get it. And you know what? They believe in Eric Gonzalez. They scouted him. They made the trade for him. They spoke highly of him. They thought he was going to be the guy. And, you know, you don't want to allow a few games in spring training to dictate his career. So they'll give him a chance, and who knows? Maybe he'll find something.
Jeff Hathorn in Bradenton with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Chris Archer's looked really good in two short spring training starts. Trevor Williams has looked good. Jameson Taillon, just the one start, but he looked fairly solid as well. And we'll get to see Joe Musgrove tonight at 6 o'clock. What is the deal with the fifth spot, though? Is Jordan Lyles fully healthy? And do Stephen Brault or Nick Kingham actually have a legit chance to beat him out for that role?
Yeah, Todd Tomsic, the director of sports medicine, as you guys know, told us yesterday that Lyles was just cramping in the heat, so he expects to be fine. I couldn't imagine any other scenario right now other than Jordan Lyles. They brought him in. He's a veteran. Kingham would be the next option. I mean, Brault looked good in his last appearance, but it was at the tail end, which means you're getting the minor leaguers, and he just hasn't done anything to impress. They have some interesting decisions with that final spot and who goes into the bullpen and how that all plays out. But I do expect Jordan Lyles, unless he were to, you know, end up with some type of oblique injury or something like that, I think he'll be the fifth starter.
Last thing, 10 seconds left. What does the Bradenton, Anna Marie Island, Longboat Key area think about Antonio Brown?
Everyone down here says, aren't you glad to be here so you don't have to talk about Antonio anymore? To which I say yes.
So that's okay. Great stuff.
And by the way, I had dinner at Captain Brian's with Jim my first night here.
Oh.
I'm still kind of recovering.
Yeah, it's his affinity for that place is one of the most weirdest things ever. It's like, I don't know.
And let me tell you, Colin, quickly. We're sitting at the bar ordering dinner, and he says, hey, you see that guy in the flannel? I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. That's Captain Brian's grandson.
Oh, what?
How do you know that?
Jim loves that place, and it's so obscure, and it makes no sense. It's like Jim has a thing for, like, a one-leg blind hooker that he keeps going back to.
Well, I haven't seen Robert Kraft, so.
Get over to Jupiter. Check that out.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk soon.
All right. See you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.